And in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end, amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. So tomorrow is the feast of St. Michael, St. Raphael, St. Gabriel. It's the traditional feast of St. Michael. It's Jesus tells Louisa that we have to work with our angels, especially our guardian angel, which is October 2nd. We should make a consecration to our angels. And what does a consecration mean? It's just basically, we're going to work with you. You work with us. We're working with you. And we're at war. You have to understand we're at war. This is the final battle. This is why worldwide the world is being attacked. The humanity is being attacked. The evil one knows he has lost. The evil one knows that God wins. I mean, he asked for 100 years. So that's what Pope Leo XIII heard in 1884. And in 1984, John Paul II consecrated the world. If you really look at it, 33 years after 1884 was 1917, and Our Lady of Fatima came and basically said, you know, she's going to be triumphant. She asked for a few things and consecrations, and we are at battle. We are at war. So the good thing is that 100 years that God gave to the evil one is over. The thousand-year reign is now beginning, and I'm not talking about millenarianism. The thousand-year reign, where Scripture says a day will be like 1,000 years, 1,000 years will be like a day. We're going to enter into this new and abundant time that God has given us. And this is why in these end times, as Pope St. John Paul II told us, we're going to enter a new and divine way of holiness. So in these end times, we have to be filled with courage. We're working with St. Michael. We're working with our guardian angels. And our job is to recognize that no matter what we have to go through, no matter what we have to endure, we have angelic hope. We have angelic help. We have angelic power with us. And nothing is impossible for God. Our prayers are powerful when we pray the command prayer. Jesus says, ask, believe that you have received it, and it is yours. When we pray that command prayer, no matter what the situation is, even if we don't see the end result that we're praying for, God answers our prayers. He wants to see what we believe. He wants to see what we hope in, what we trust. And that's why the final devotion, Jesus says, that I give to my church before I return, he said this to Sister Faustina, is divine mercy. So this divine mercy that we enter into, it's always good to be confident, you know, Jesus, I trust in you, to be confident that a new era is begun, and our God is asking us, leading us to, you know, have the sacraments and the sacramentals, to go to the saints, for their prayer with one with us. But the interesting thing about the divine will is when we pray with the saints, their happiness doubles. Why? They didn't know how to pray in the divine will, as living in the divine will. They prayed by doing the divine will of God. So what Jesus says is when we repair and when we redo, which is the divine will, when we repair and we do every prayer, every thought, every word. Today's the feast of St. Wenceslaus, you know, this great king who fought for the glory of God rather than human kingdoms, but for the kingdom of God. When we pray with him today, he is at our side to help us, to work with us, with all the holy angels. So pray the St. Michael prayer every day. Make sure that is part of your prayer. A good time to pray it is right after Holy Mass. This is a time where our God is We're one with God after Holy Communion. We are in communion with God. And, you know, this is what Pope Leo XIII asked that we pray. Now, some places you can't pray it after Mass. You do it privately. Nobody can stop you from praying privately. But it's to enter into this battle with full confidence. Look at your family, your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, your parishioners. You know, Jesus said today in the gospel, he says, I came not for peace, but the sword. But a father against son, a mother against daughter, a daughter against mother-in-law, a mother-in-law against daughter-in-law. What does this mean? It's what do we believe? What do we firmly, what is our faith? And not to back down. I mean, not to be angry, not to be miserable, but this is important to me. My faith is important to me. And I want to give you this faith that I have. I want to share with you this faith that I have. A lot of people, unfortunately, under direction, when their family members are married outside of the church and they're Catholic, we attend that celebration. That's not living your faith. You're living your faith is saying, you know, and I know many priests have said, oh, you can't destroy the family. You've got to be peaceful in this situation. Well, Our Lady said in Fatima, many people go to hell because of sins of the flesh. We want them in heaven. That's our goal, as heaven. We want them to participate in this glorious kingdom that our God wants to give to us. So we have to stand firm in our faith. And I know that's tough for most people. I this one good friend of mine, he was the chief of police, and his family was away from the church, and he stood firm in his faith. And everybody in the family complained about him. But in the end, everybody came back to the faith because of his faithfulness, because he says, this is important to me, that you be a good and practicing Catholic. This is important to me. And this time today, the church is being hit very, very hard. We need all the strength that we can have at our side. And again, St. Michael was a little angel. He fought the greatest angel, the angel of light. He said his name is Who is Like Unto God. You know, when Lucifer said, I will not serve, I will not obey. Again, it goes back to the church. I will not serve, I will not obey. What side are we on? I will be faithful to Christ and his church. I will be faithful to this abundant, this fullness of truth found in the Catholic faith. So again, good things are coming. We have to understand that God wins, and not to be angry, not to fight. A lot of people love to fight. A lot of people like to say, okay, come on. You want to fight? I'll fight you. You know, it's like, we're not here to fight. We're here to enter into the love of God, and by the love of God, fight this war. And that's why Jesus tells Louisa, what's coming is the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. And the weapons that we will use, Jesus says, the war that we're going to fight is not a war of blood, but a war of love. We're going to use that love of Jesus Christ, the love of Mary, the life of Jesus, the life of Mary, which Our Lady and our Lord want us to begin to live. So this is why in volume 35, October 12th, 1937, Jesus added with unspeakable tenderness of love, my blessed daughter, how beautiful it is to live in my most holy divine will. That's what God is calling us to do. This is the greatest gift. This is the gift of gifts. This is the prodigy of prodigies. This is the apostle of apostolates. You couldn't, Jesus says, I could not give you anything greater than this. What our Lord wants us to do is enter into his will. The way Adam was, when God breathed into the dust, that ruah of God, that breath of God into the dust, what came out of the dust was the image and likeness of God. Our God is asking us to enter into this abundant life. Our God is asking us to to begin to live this Catholic life, this universal life. So when Adam lost this, what happens? 4,000 years later, Jesus and Mary come to earth. Why? To bring back to humanity this Catholic life, this universal life. And what does he say in the last chapter of I Am 24 to Louisa? He says, the Jews, the Buddhists, the Hindus, the Muslims, the Protestants, the atheists are going to want to be baptized Catholics. Why? Jesus says, because they're going to see, they're going to experience what it means to be baptized, to live in the divine will. And he says, Jesus says that it will be that they will begin to understand this great event, this living in the divine will that God wants to give back to humanity. Everyone will be Catholic. There's the universal life. There's not many faiths. There's not many religions. There is the Catholic life, the universal life that God breathed into Adam. So this is why we have to prove to Jesus that we're faithful to his church. We're faithful to Jesus, what he has given. When he said, who do people say that I am? And Peter says, you are the Christ. Jesus says, that my Father has told you this, Peter. And since my Father has spoken to you, now I will speak to you. Upon this rock, upon you, Peter, your faith, I'm going to build this church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So what's happened to this point? There's 7 billion people. 1 billion are Catholic. And they're saying 70% of the Catholics don't believe in the Eucharist. So what is God doing? It goes back to Gideon. When God says, you're going to fight this war and win, Gideon says, I have 300,000 men. He goes, you don't need 300,000. Well, I'll use 30,000. You don't need 30,000. Well, I'll use 3,000. He goes, you don't need 3,000. He says, watch the men, how they drink the water from the stream. He says, use all those souls that drink like dogs. What does a dog do? When he laps the water, his eyes are open as he's lapping up the water. He's aware of the things around him. What does Jesus keep on telling Louisa? Be attentive. Be attentive. Be aware of what's happening. So what does he do? Our Lord gives us the book of heaven. And as he says here today, how beautiful it is to live in the divine will. God is trying to help us understand that this life that Adam lost, image and likeness of God, is now being offered back to humanity. So through holy baptism, we enter into God's image. And when we read the book of heaven, we enter into the likeness of God. Jesus teaches us how to begin to do things the way God does it. That doesn't mean we become God, but we let God reign in us. Jesus breathes in our breathing. Jesus beats in our heart beating. Jesus gazes at our gazing, listens at our listening. What is happening? Jesus is showing us that when you do your human will, you will be far from God. That's what Adam did. He did his human will. He says, I will obey what I want to do. Instead of correcting Eve, which Jesus says, basically, he could have redeemed Eve, being the high priest that he was. Adam was the priest. Adam was the father. Adam was the king of the earth. He could have redeemed Eve, but he didn't. He went along with Eve. And since then, we've been in this horrible condition where we were banished from Eden, where we're supposed to be living. What did Our Lady say to Bruno in 1947, an approved apparition in the church? Our Lady said, my children are going back to eternity, where we're supposed to live. The children of Lucifer will always be trapped in time and space. That's where we are now. What God wants is he wants to free us from this slavery. When he died on the cross, shed every drop of his blood, he freed us from the slavery of the devil. And now, 2,000 years later, he says, I found the newborn. I've got the newborn, Louisa Picaretta, who will then begin to let people, because of what Jesus taught her, return to living in the divine will. So good things are right around the corner. And I know it looks bad out there, but good things are coming. We have to trust in Jesus. Jesus said to St. Faustina, the final devotion I give to my church before I return is Divine Mercy. We've had it for 20 years now. It's part of our life. Every day at 3 o'clock, we pray the Divine Mercy. Now we pray in the divine will, in the name of everyone and everything past, present, and future. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I believe in you. Jesus, I have confidence in you. You're my Lord. You're my Savior. You're my Master. You're my King. I have no fear. We have to have the faith that Joan of Arc had when she said, I was born for this time. We are born for this time. This is why we're here. We are so close to what God wants to bring about that we can almost taste it. It's so close. You have to understand. We have to be attentive. What did Our Lady say to Father Gobi in 1997? She said, everything's completed. Everything's done. What was completed? What was done? The Book of Heaven came out in 1996. And people were reading the 36 volumes. They were beginning to live this abundant life that Adam lost, image and likeness of God. The saints taught us how to do the will of God. And now Jesus says, I, the Lord God Almighty, Jesus says this, am going to teach you how to live in the will of God. I will teach you how to live the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. This is a glorious time to be alive. I mentioned before that in July, the Red Communist Chinese said, we are now celebrating our 100th anniversary. Good. That means it's over. Be attentive. God gave them 100 years. It's over. The kingdom is coming. The evil one wants to destroy us all, crush us all. Jesus wins. Our Lady wins. In the end, she says, the Immaculate Heart, her Immaculate Heart will triumph. What is the triumph of Our Lady? Is that we become like her Son. What is the Book of Heaven? How to be in God's image and likeness again. And again, nobody's there yet perfectly. Nobody. And we all go to confession. But Jesus says to Our Lady, he promises to Louisa that there will be a great day that's going to happen that will shake the earth. When the earth is shaken to its foundation, the kingdom will be here. Let's look at what's happening throughout the world. God is trying to wake us up. God is trying to make us ready for what he is going to do. He is our Lord. He's our Savior. He's our Master. He's our King. He's our God. And he's asking us to get ready for what he is going to do. Everybody talks so much about the evil one. Oh, these things are going to come. And these, again, Jesus already told us in scripture, sacred scripture. He said that it will be like a woman giving birth. The pains will become more intense. The pains will become closer and closer until the child is born. What is coming is the kingdom. And we have to begin to understand that what God is testing us with every single day is, are we faithful to him and his church? Are we true to him and his church? Why? Adam was unfaithful. Adam was disobedient. So he's asking us, would you learn from Jesus, the new Adam, learn from Mary, the new Eve, that they gave all this truth given to Louisa, that we begin to learn how to stand our ground, not with anger, but with peace, joy, and love, as Jesus did, as Mary did. Great things are coming. And so he says this right in the beginning, how beautiful it is to live in my most holy divine will. When you read every day, Jesus is explaining more and more how to live this true life of Jesus, how to live this true life of Mary that they gave to Louisa. The creature who does so keeps us, triune God, always in feast. The soul who learns how to do this makes God happy. What happens? Why is God happy? He finally sees a soul that lives, is beginning to live this life that God breathed into Adam. When God breathed this life into Adam, Adam was in God's image and likeness. He was one with God, fused with God. The creature who lives in my divine will keeps us, triune God, always in feast. That soul knows nothing other than my will, and everything becomes will of God for her. So a lot of people have this confusion between doing the will of God and living in the will of God. Well, you mean when I pray, God's going to show me what I'm going to do? No, that's doing the will of God. I'm going to pray and God's going to show me what house I should buy. No, that's doing the will of God. That's not living in the will of God. God's going to pray and he's going to answer my prayers. No, that's doing the will of God. That's not living in the will of God. To live in the will of God is to let Jesus gaze in your gazing, to listen in your listening. He says, I made the human senses for God. To live in the human will is to let Our Lady's love be in your heart, mind, and soul. To live in the divine will is not to figure something out. That's doing the will of God. You know, should I take the left turn or the right turn? What should I do? God says, that's doing the will of God. To live in the will of God is to let Jesus be alive in you. Jesus breathe in my breathing. Jesus beat in my heart beating. Jesus gaze in my gazing, you know, dance in my dancing, sing in my singing. I want you, Jesus, to be alive in me. I want you, Jesus, to be the Lord of my life and every thought, every word, every deed. I don't want to be separated from you ever, forever. I want to be one with you, Lord God. I want to be one with you, Blessed Mother. I want you, Jesus and Mary, to be my new Adam and my new Eve. I want your DNA in me. I want to possess what you possess. That's living in the divine will. And nobody's there yet. Jesus says, I'm looking for the souls who want this more than anything. And when I find those souls that want this gift more than anything, I will give it to the world. Which means he hasn't found anybody yet. I know there's some people that say, well, I'm living in the divine will. I possess the divine will. I'm living in the fourth dimension. We all go to confession. Why? That great day hasn't occurred yet. It's going to. It's very close. It's going to happen. And when that great day happens, glory, glory. It's going to be magnificent. We're going to begin to live the life that God originally planned for us. And now it's even greater than that, more than what he gave to Adam. That's why on Holy Saturday night, we say, oh, happy fall of Adam. Why? We are happy that Adam fell. Why? Now we have Jesus as our new Adam. We have Mary as our new Eve. What a glorious day this is on Holy Saturday night. So Jesus says he rises from the dead. Why does he rise from the dead? He says, because my children are also called to rise from the dead before they die. How can you rise from the dead before you die? Well, Jesus says to Louisa, when they were carrying the body of the young man, of the widowed mother, and Jesus saw them, he went over and touched the litter and brought the boy back to life. And then he says to Louisa, I'm going to do this for humanity. I'm bringing you back to abundant life. The abundant life is living in the divine will. Where we are right now is living dead. And the saints have even told us that when the new era occurs, we're going to look back at this life and we're going to say, we were living dead at this time. Compared to the abundant life, the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary that we now possess. Great things are right around the corner. But Jesus says, I'm looking for the souls who must live in my divine will. And that's why he says this very, very clearly. The soul who does live in my divine will keeps us always in feast and festivity. The soul knows nothing other than my divine will. And everything becomes will of God for her. So you're not trying to find out which, if you take a right, left, right, a right road or a left road, which way do I turn? It's to live one with Jesus. It's to live one with Mary, which God is offering to us that Louisa possesses. But the fullness of it isn't here yet. It's that day hasn't occurred. It's going to happen. It's going to happen for those souls who make the divine will their everything. Now, I've got a library filled with books, floor to ceiling, covering all four walls. They're wonderful books. They're beautiful books of the saints. But they don't come close to what Jesus and Mary are teaching Louisa. The saints told us how to do the will of God. The book of heaven teaches us how to live in the will of God. This is what's so great. So Jesus says, the suffering that you go through, and all of us are suffering, physical, spiritual, mental, emotional suffering, is divine will. It's fiat. The joy in the divine will, Jesus says, I give you my joy so that your joy will be complete, is the divine will. Your heartbeat is the divine will. Your breathing is the divine will. Your emotion all become divine will. That's what God is teaching us, how to live this life of Jesus, to live this life of Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve, that they gave to the newborn Louisa. And God is asking us, are you willing to become newborn like Louisa? Are you willing to let Jesus says, rest in my arms? This is our talk, to rest in my arms. Are you willing to go to the Blessed Mother to rest in her arms? You know, most of us say, well, one day we will rest in peace. Can't wait for that day. Lucky stiffs. Rest in peace. Jesus says, no, I want you to begin to live this life now. A newborn can't walk. A newborn can't feed itself. A newborn can't protect itself. Jesus says, I'm going to feed you. I'm going to lead you. I'm going to direct you. Me and my mother, we're going to fill you with this divine life the way Adam had before the fall. That's why St. Louis de Montfort says, in the final days, there'll be the greatest saints in the history of the church, history of the world, but it's nothing that they have done, but what God has done for them. That's what's coming. God is doing this. The saint said, let me build a church. Let me build a monastery. Let me build a hospital. Let me build a convent. Let me build. God says, okay, that's doing the will of God. But to live in the will of God is to enter into this abundant life. Let's look at St. Thomas Aquinas. He didn't finish the Summa, didn't finish the third book. Why? God showed him, I believe, the book of heaven. And he says, everything I have written is mere straw. That's the focus of the seminarians, focusing on the Summa. It's mere straw. So what does Jesus do? Jesus says, I'm going to teach you. What does sacred scripture say? When the Spirit of truth comes, he will reveal to all truths everything. He will remind you of everything that I have said. To me, that's the book of heaven. And when you read the book of heaven, every day, it's magnificent. He says, the creature who lives in my divine will keeps us always in feast. We become festival. We become joy-filled, peaceful, and happy. And so when somebody in our family wants to marry outside of the church, they're Catholics, we say, you know, I love you so much that I can't be there. I love you so much. My faith is so important that I want to give this to you, and I can't witness this. I know many priests will say, oh, that's wrong. You've got to go back to your family. You want them in heaven. And our faith is the most important thing that God has given humanity at this point. Our Catholic faith. It's not many faiths. It's not many religions. It's our Catholic life, the universal life that God has given to us. That's what Jesus and Mary did when they came to earth. Who taught the apostles after Jesus? It was the Blessed Mother. It was Jesus and Mary who helped the church get off the ground. And because of Jesus' suffering on Calvary, because Our Lady's suffering on Calvary, Jesus says that when she saw her son die, she would have died if it was not for the divine will. She died on Calvary as well. And what God is asking of us is to begin to understand this new and abundant life that He has given to the world. So for the last 2,000 years, we've learned how to do the will of God through the saints. And now Jesus is teaching us. Jesus is teaching us. Read Ezekiel 34. Read Ezekiel 34. What does it say? He says, I will shepherd my people. And I really believe when you read the book of heaven, everything changes for you. You begin to understand our dogma and doctrine. You begin to understand sacred scripture. You begin to understand the lives of the saints. You know, this is a glorious time to be alive. So Jesus says, the suffering is divine will. The joy is divine will. The heartbeat is the divine will. The breathing is the divine will. The motion all become divine will. Her steps and her works feel the steps of my divine will, as well as the divine sanctity of the works of my fiat. See, we're re-entering into this abundant life where God is one with us. So what does the Lord say? What does He say through Pope St. John Paul II? St. John Paul II said, when you receive the Holy Eucharist, he says, in the state of grace, you fall more in love with God. And then he says, to fall more in love with God, spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament, where you look at Jesus in the monstrance. You look and fall in love with Jesus in the monstrance. It's not reading a book. It's not praying prayers. It's to fall in love with God. And he says, what he does is he's silently there waiting for anyone to show up. So what does John Paul II say in the 80s? He says, I want every Catholic church to have Eucharistic adoration, perpetual adoration if possible. How many places can you go in every Catholic church where they have perpetual adoration? To see, we have to fall in love with our prisoner of love in the tabernacle. We have to get closer to Him. And it's not any other way than being with Him. You fall in love with the person that you stay with, that you love. You fall in love with the person that is your heart, mind, and soul. That has to be our God. We're going to spend eternity with our triune God. We're going to spend eternity with Him. And we have to get to know Him here on earth. That's why we're here. We're on earth to get to know Jesus. We're on earth to get to know His mother, our mother. And how do we do this? Well, we've tried with the saints of doing the will of God. And now Jesus says, now is the time to live in the will of God. Now is the time to return back to the garden, to return back to Eden, which Our Lady tells Bruno we're going to do. That's where we belong. Remember, St. Thomas Aquinas pounded on the desk, the wooden desk. He pounds on the desk and says, this is not as real as eternity. This desk, he said, will turn to dust someday. Eternity is forever. That's where we belong. One with God. That's why we were created. So what does God do? He brings us to earth to basically ask us, what do you want? Do you want the things of earth, which is all going to go by way of fire, or the things of heaven, which are eternal? And then when we decide to choose God, great things happen. Our lives become full of life and light and love. Jesus does that. What was it like? What was it like to be with Jesus 2,000 years ago? What was it like to sit next to Him and listen to Him? We can do that every day now if we wish. We have to be attentive, though. We have to be attentive to the Lord. What is he asking of us? So he has given us the book of heaven. He's the one that's done this. Jesus says, it doesn't matter how you got the book. I, the Lord God Almighty, Jesus says, have given you this book. Because I, the Lord God Almighty, wants to transform you into my divine masterpiece. This is why we're alive today. So everything around us seems to be falling apart. Okay, why? The kingdom is coming. The kingdom of is coming on earth as it is in heaven. What does that mean to us? Well, if the evil one has been banished from heaven, he's going to be banished from earth. What does that mean? No more sorrow, no more sadness, no more sin, no more death. That's what sacred scripture tells us. We're entering into a new era. And it's not going to be, I hear people say, well, that'll be 1,000 years from now. Open your eyes. Look around. When was the last time that humanity has been attacked? All of humanity has been attacked at one point. No, this is a new era that we've entered into. And God has asked us to be the ones to begin to live this abundant life. So what does he say? He says this. He says, her steps, her works, feel the steps of my divine will, as well as the sanctity, the divine sanctity of the works of God, the works of my fiat. That, as a matter of fact, that's the name, Jesus says, that I give to my children when they enter into heaven. We're going to have a new name, he says. So he's going to point to the saints, those children who strive to live in the divine will. And he's going to go, see that person over there? That's my fiat. We're to be one with God. See that person over there? That's my fiat. We're supposed to be one with God. This fiat that our God wants us to begin to live, the saints hint at, like the saints teach us, when I read the lives of the saints, it's like a black and white photograph, two-dimensional. What Jesus teaches Louisa is three-dimensional and technicolor. What the saints have taught us about red is gray. What the saints have taught us about blue is gray. What saints have taught us about yellow is gray. Jesus expands our capacity to understand what he wants us to see, what he wants us to hear. That's the fiat of God. It's to become aware, attentive to this new outpouring of the Holy Spirit, this great and abundant outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The first Pentecost was a drop in the bucket compared to the second Pentecost. The first Pentecost was the asparagus and the rhubarb and the strawberries. I mean, it's fruit coming from the ground. It's food coming from the ground. It's not winter anymore. The second paragraph is the last 2,000 years of all that the saints have taught us. And now the crowning of the church, Jesus says, is this gift of the divine will. Abundant food, abundant blessings for everyone and for everything. The second Pentecost that God is asking us to get ready for, he's already beginning to teach us how to get ready for this new and abundant way of holiness, as John Paul II has said. This is a great time to be alive. It's an amazing time to be alive. So he says, the food that she takes is her sleep. The most natural things become the will of God for her. So how are we being fed by God now? What is this abundant life? It's the way you live, the way you breathe, the way your heart beats, what you gaze, what you listen to, when you walk. It's living in the will of God. You're not separated from God. And he's teaching us how to do this. And he says, I have to give it to those who want it more than anything. So as we read the book of heaven, little by little, Jesus is teaching us how to walk. Jesus, walk in my walking. How to eat. Jesus, eat in my eating. How to sleep. Jesus, sleep in my sleeping. It's never to be separated from God. What does that produce? Abundant joy, abundant happiness, abundant peace. Why? Jesus is there. That's what it means to live in the will of God. It's not to decide which way do I turn. It's Jesus, you're with me. I'm with you. We are one. We are fused. This is, he says, we receive Holy Communion and the Mass ends. Right after you receive Holy Communion, you get the final prayer, final blessing. Why? To be in communion with God for that 15 minutes until the host dissolves. He says, because I want you to get ready for the perennial communion with God. As Adam walked and talked with God in the cool of the evening, never to be separated from God. That's what God has planned for us. We're to be one with God. That's what the divine will is. And he's asking us, are you willing to say yes to this? Are you willing to agree with what Our Lady did? You're going to be the mother of God. She says, how can this be? I want to please God, but I've already consecrated my life as a virgin. How can I be the mother of God? Tell me how to do this. And the angel said, it will be through the power of the Holy Spirit. And she said, fiat mihi, let it be done as you say. Docility, surrender, submission is Our Lady. So that God can have his way. It's the same thing for us. It's docility, surrender, submission to God. Why? So God can have his way with us. So he can lead us, guide us, direct us to live this abundant life of the image and likeness of God. That's what the divine will is all about. And again, nobody possesses it fully. We get glimpses of it. We get glimpses of it because Jesus says, when this miracle happens, the earth is going to shake. That's what happened when he rose from the dead. The earth shook. Why? Why? What's coming? He says, you're going to begin to understand what it means to live in the divine will. You're going to begin to understand what it means to live in the divine will. So all that Jesus is teaching us over these years is to get us ready for what God is going to bring about. We haven't seen it yet. It's going to be glorious. So our hope, our confidence is in what is in our Lord, our Savior, our Master, our King, in our Mother and our Queen. Our Lord is what God has given to Louisa. And as we read this, as we study this, great things happen. So he says this, in all that she sees, feels, touches, she sees, feels, and touches the palpitation, divine life of my divine will. That's what God is beginning in us. My divine will keeps her so busy and invested with itself that jealously it doesn't allow anything, not even air, not to be divine will. We begin to live this abundant life. And Jesus says, I'm looking for the souls who must live in my divine will. Hopefully that's us. I pray that it's us because Jesus says everything's going to change. Everything's going to be glorious. The kingdom is going to come on earth as it is in heaven. The fulfillment of the Our Father, that Luis is the one that's going to bring this about. So let us pray. May the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Luisa. And we pray that this prayer becomes God's command, that all of us be divinely healed in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.